Jam. Green Monkey Records. Green Monkey. That's right. Started in 1983, and the last real release was 95, but there was kind of a sort of a little CDR release in 2000. When I was a kid, my grandma had this little weird stuffed green monkey in her attic. You know, those mystery things in the attic. And the monkey was wise. You know, he could tell he was ancient and wise. And so about a year before I started the label, my grandmother gave me the monkey, much to my sister's chagrin. She was pissed, right?
She wanted the monkey.
Oh, hell yes. Who wouldn't want the monkey? The monkey is wise, right? And so I had the monkey, and so what the hell? Got to call it something, Green Monkey Records. Little knowing that Seattle would become, at that era, Animal Town label, right, with Pop Llama and Green Monkey and all that shit. But yeah, and I still got the monkey. So right now, Art Chantry, who's the famous Art Chantry, did all those covers for everybody. I'm working with him for cover of my new project. He says the monkey's got to go on the front, he says. Went out and learned to play the guitar. Had these little arty punk bands. And I decided that I went and recorded in a studio. I spent a bunch of money to record in a studio. Which I could do better than spend my money better to buy recording gear. So I bought recording gear, and I just started recording all these weird people and then myself a lot. So I got at the point by 83, I had all this stuff, right, that nobody was interested in putting out. I'd sent stuff to Geffen Records, and Geffen said it was too dark and brooding. They weren't buying dark and brooding back in those days. I decided I was just going to start putting it out. So the most underground thing you could be in 1983 was a cassette-only label. That's what I started out as. My first two releases came out simultaneously. One was Local Product. It was a compilation of all these weird guys I'd recorded. The other was Tom Dyer, Truth of Consequences, me, solo guy. And I recorded them all real time. We're using three tape decks.
The world is made of women,
women, women.
Sometimes that suits me just fine. Half the world is made of women,
women, women, women.
Sometimes it nearly blows my mind.
Oh, no.
Oh, women,
women, women, women.
Oh, women,
women, women, women.
Oh, women,
women, women, women.
Oh.
Okay, girls, let's go. Okay, girls, let's go.
But I put these things out, and, you know, and we were off and running. I sent them out to people and got, you know, reviews and stuff. And people said I was like some kind of a genius or something, so I thought I was. I went, Jesus, I mean, it must be right. If you look at the early part of my record label, it was really basically a Tom label. You know, it was about putting out my stuff more than anything else. And then that kind of evolved over time where I started putting out other people's stuff more. And then it really shifted the most to that. That's when I started putting out the Green Pajama stuff, who I dearly loved. That really kind of became my focus, was producing their stuff and managing them. The Green Pajamas, yeah. You know, they're still semi-active that I put out, the Walkabouts. I hadn't put out an album, but I'm still my comp. And I think the Fastbacks are officially given up now. You know, but there's a lot of those guys hung around for a long time.
Everyone's my hero, and I like everything. It still means something to me. If it ain't got that swing, I would kill you. Trust me on that. You can bet your life.
Bet your life.
Questions, shut up. No.
Thank you.
didn't have any idea what your purpose was or what you wanted to do. It just
It was to make the greatest record ever made. You know, that it was all about art, you know. It was never, I mean, don't get me wrong, I wanted to be hugely successful with it.
Yeah.
I wanted the world to recognize our genius. But it was never about money in terms of doing this to make money. In fact, I think I had, at that point, I had some pretty hang-ups about the purity of my art and making money at it. You know, the idea that, you know, I mean, absolutely what I wanted to do is make the greatest record ever. There was something in the air. I could feel it. Some kind of blue electricity. I was out on a walk. I was out on the ghost walk. When I was producing, I felt every bit the artist. Almost everything on my label I engineered or produced. I had one guy that worked for me as an engineer that did probably maybe a quarter, a little less than a quarter of it. I managed to get out just before then. Before everybody got rich. You know, my heyday, if you look at the heyday for me, it was really from about 83 to really 90. And, you know, at that point, by 88, Sub Pop was happening. Nirvana wasn't happening yet, but Sub Pop was the thing in Seattle. And the whole grunge thing in Seattle, Touch Me, I'm Sick, all that, was what Seattle was becoming known for. And guys like me and my label, we were rapidly becoming for the forgotten past. A little, an asterisk. You know, it was post-punk, pre-grunge, right? And when I say post-punk, it's post-punk pop, I would say, more than, you know, it's underground rock, and my stuff was way more eclectic than that. I'm getting ready. I'm working on right now a 2-CD compilation label retrospective. I'm working from best copy. And so in some case, for instance, I have a single by Prudence Dredge. There are no masters. I'm working from a 45. So literally, I'm going from whatever my best copy is. Wouldn't want the monkey. The monkey is wise.
Sleepwalkers, in memory of Louis Malofsky. Lou, my grandfather, a Russian Jewish immigrant, a tailor, came to this country when he was 15 with his one blue eye and one brown eye, black hair and red mustache. A kind and quiet nature, the sensitivities of a diabetic, and the keen insights of an outsider. When I was a boy, frequently I spent Saturday mornings with my grandfather, accompanying him to synagogue and then to a diner for an illicit slice of some sugary pie I swore I wouldn't talk about to my grandmother or my parents. On one summer Saturday morning, as I ate a cold piece of lemon meringue at the counter of Reed's drugstore with my grandfather, he warned me about the sleepwalkers in the world. Stephen, pay attention in the world. Keep your eyes open and peel away the layers of sleep. Look around. See that man at the booth in the corner? Don't stare, just casually look over. That man is a sleepwalker. Though his eyes are open and he's eating his sandwich, he is asleep. It looks like he's here among us, but that's my point. He is reading the newspaper while he eats his sandwich. Look at his face and notice his eyes. Does it look like he's tasting his sandwich? Notice how he wolfs it down. Is he really thinking about what he's reading? Look at his eyes. He's a sleepwalker. I enjoyed my lemon meringue pie. Its cool, tart flavor and the bright yellow contrasted with the snowy whiteness of the meringue. Grandpa, I asked with a bite of pie in my mouth, do you think he knows he's a sleepwalker? No, he doesn't know. We only know we're asleep when we wake up, and he is asleep. How would I know whether I'm asleep or not? I asked. You're awake, Stevie, but you're young. That means that in some ways, you are more awake than you'll ever be, and in other ways, you've barely opened your eyes. I didn't understand entirely, but Grandpa was smiling, and his warm eyes were wet and lively as he looked over at me and put his hand on my shoulder. You're waking up, Stevie, and as you wake up, keep your eyes peeled. Beware. Steer clear of the sleepwalkers.
The British are coming, they've been coming for some time. Paul Revere rode his trusty white horse that night, yelling to the people, hey people, stay out of mind and out of sight, cause the Brits are gonna tax you, recruit you or shoot you, boot you or loot you. Bow to the queen, or was it the king that night, itching for a fight and drinking from their teapot? The British are coming. The British are coming now. The British are coming. The British are coming. Down the Mississippi River to the town of New Orleans. The Brits had the power and the glory forever, amen. But the people didn't like that, so we served eviction papers and wrote of freedom bells and power to the mass. You can kiss our American ass, though you got some class yourself, you white boys with red coats and blue eyes so long. The British are coming. Of Liverpool, the rockers studied our tunes. Little Richard, Chuck Berry, and the King, blessings from their pretty little queen. Jumped in a plane for New York City, made some dough, went back home, told all the friends, folks, there's money to be made in the land of milk and honey. And boys, sing your songs with a Yankee accent, wear a suit and keep your hair long. Talk about need a maid when you're writing your songs, and Stairway to Heaven and Honky Tonk Women. And they went and they came again, bringing and a taking and a living in sin. Limey philosophy and Yankee dime. Hey, you, get off my cloud now. Live in your own house, I live in mine. Share some water, that'll be fine. You bring a Shakespeare, Milton, and a Who. We'll give you Disney and Mr. Magoo. You got Rolls Royce and little bitty MG. We got Ford, Booker T, and the MG. I am me and you are you. Let's get together now.
The British are coming. Word Jam.
18.